All right, so we're diving deep today. And you guys know how this works. We take what you send us, your learning materials, and we kind of unpack it all.
That's right. Break it down, make those connections, and help you really get the most out of your learning.
And this time, it looks like we've got some English class notes from Academia BSB to explore.
Fantastic. Always exciting to see what people are working on. And these notes, they're from April 2nd, right?
That's right. Seems like Eugenia's been hitting the books, learning all sorts of new vocabulary, grammar rules, even got a reading exercise in there.
Perfect. So, what's the mission for today's deep dive then?
We're going to take all this, the vocab, the usage examples, the grammar points, and that essay, and we're going to really dig into them, explore the nuances and connect the dots so you can really level up your English skills.
Sounds like a plan. Where should we start?
Well, let's jump right in with the current class vocabulary. It's a pretty diverse list. Got everything from basic words like thankfully and law to things like retrospectively, which is a little more, complex.
Yeah, retrospectively, looking back on something, reconsidering it with the benefit of hindsight. It's a word you might use when reflecting on past experiences.
Exactly. And then there are some terms that reflect important social issues, like sexual harassment, which is unfortunately something that's still far too common.
Absolutely. Understanding these terms and being able to discuss them accurately is crucial for participating in informed conversations about these issues.
Now, one word that caught my eye was robbery. It's not just to steal from, right? It has that element of force or threat involved.
You got it. That distinction is really important, legally speaking. Robbery carries a much heavier penalty than simply stealing because of that threat to personal safety.
And speaking of stealing, the list also has to mug, which is like a specific type of robbery, right?
Right. Yeah, to mug usually involves attacking someone, usually in a public place, to steal their belongings.
It's good to see how the notes pair words that are similar but have different uses, like bathroom stall versus cabin.
Right, one's a small enclosed space in a public bathroom, while the other is a small house or a room on a ship. Context is everything.
And then there's the basic distinction of male and female, which, seems simple, but those words carry a lot of weight in how we communicate and understand gender.
Absolutely. And speaking of gender, it's interesting to see feminist, sexual harassment, and transgender all on this list. These are words that are becoming increasingly important in today's society as we grapple with issues of gender equality and identity.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not just about the words themselves, it's about the discussions they spark. Like, the notes mention transgender being criticized by traditionalists, which highlights the push and pull between changing social norms and traditional values.
Exactly. Understanding these terms and the debates surrounding them is essential for navigating those conversations thoughtfully.
Right. And the list also tackles some pretty serious stuff. Words like to get in trouble, to mug, to kidnap, to rape. These are, pretty heavy topics, but it's important to be aware of them, to know the language associated with these kinds of situations.
Agreed. These words reflect the darker side of human experience, and understanding them is unfortunately necessary for comprehending news reports, legal discussions, and conversations about safety.
Absolutely. And then we have words that cover a broader spectrum of human experiences, like dating, shock, wonder. Those are, more about emotions and personal experiences.
Yeah, and it's interesting how this list includes words related to different aspects of life, like you have poverty, beggar, which touch upon social and economic issues.
Right. And then you have words related to travel, like natives, locals, and touristic sites, which is super relevant for anyone learning English, especially if they're planning to travel.
For sure. And it's those subtle distinctions between words that can really enrich your understanding. Like, natives usually refers to people who are originally from a particular place, while locals could include people who've lived there for a long time, even if they weren't born there.
And speaking of those subtle distinctions, let's look at this example. Clerk, seller, servants,
Right.
staff, waiter, food industry.
Right. So all of these involve serving others in some way. But a clerk typically sells goods. A waiter serves food. Servants traditionally work in a household doing domestic tasks. And staff is a more general term for employees in a variety of settings.
It's all about context, right?
Exactly. And then there's this interesting comparison, etiquette, politeness ex education school. It's pointing out that politeness is about social behavior, showing respect, often tied to cultural norms, while education is about formal learning and knowledge acquisition.
So you can be polite without having a lot of formal education. and vice versa.
Exactly. It's a good reminder that those two things aren't always directly correlated.
Now, before we move on to language usage, I think it's worth taking a quick peek at the past class vocabulary list.
Good idea. It's always helpful to revisit what you've already learned, keep those connections strong.
Yeah, seeing words like happy, worried, lazy, alongside more complex terms like improvise and inventive, it's like, seeing the foundation of Eugenia's vocabulary expanding over time.
Exactly. And then you have imperfect, incalculable, exist, hydrate, ingredients, mixture, all building blocks for more complex thought and expression.
Oh, and don't forget the trio. Rule X, room. Three words that sound similar but have completely different meanings.
Right. Role is a part you play. Rule is a regulation or guideline. And room is a space. It's easy to mix those up if you're not careful.
For sure. Okay. Ready to tackle language usage.
Let's do it. This is where things get really interesting because we see how the vocabulary comes alive in actual phrases and sentences.
So let's see. We've got a bit of each, which is something you might say if you're like ordering food, you want a little of this and a little of that.
Right. It's a common way to express wanting a small portion of multiple things.
And then there's people don't look at you sideways, which is kind of an idiom, right?
Yeah, it's not meant to be taken literally. It means that people accept you. They don't find you strange or out of place. You blend in.
I like that. Blending in. Okay, what else?
Well, there's the person would think twice. This suggests hesitation, weighing the pros and cons before doing something. It implies that the person is cautious or that the action might have consequences.
That's a good one. Think twice. I can see that being useful in all sorts of situations.
Definitely. And then there's a more straightforward one. Some places are dangerous. But even that simple statement highlights the need to be aware of your surroundings, especially when traveling to unfamiliar places.
Right. Safety first. Okay, so we've got a few examples of synonyms. To walk around the city, wander, stroll. They all mean walking without a specific destination, but there are subtle shades of meaning there.
Wander suggests a more aimless or leisurely pace, maybe exploring with a sense of curiosity, while stroll implies a more relaxed and enjoyable walk.
Ooh, okay. I like the stroll sound so much more peaceful.
Exactly. It's about choosing the right word to convey the specific feeling or atmosphere you're going for.
Now, things get a little more complex with spectrum of gender identity. This phrase recognizes that gender isn't just a simple binary, but exists on a continuum.
Right. It's a really important concept for understanding contemporary discussions about gender and identity.
And then it's being criticized by traditionalists, which highlights the clash between evolving perspectives and more established views.
Yes. This phrase often comes up in conversations about social change, where new ideas or behaviors are met with resistance from those who hold more traditional beliefs.
And we're seeing that a lot these days, aren't we? Push and pull between the old and the new.
Absolutely. It's a dynamic that's always present in society, but it feels particularly pronounced right now.
Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Open carry, the right to carry unconcealed gun. That's a pretty loaded topic.
It is, and it's one that often sparks heated debate.
Yeah, for sure. And the notes also touch on differing viewpoints about crime, mentioning how crime has risen, Democrats, left-wing folks, conservatives, right-wing Republicans. It's important to remember that these are often politically charged issues with different interpretations, and we're just observing the language used to discuss them.
Exactly. We're not endorsing any particular viewpoint here, just trying to understand how different groups use language to frame these complex issues.
Right. And speaking of different viewpoints, there's this striking contrast. Drug addict, TX, go to jail, versus drug addict, SCAA, the state will take care of you. These are vastly different approaches to the same problem, reflecting different societal values and political ideologies.
It's a really powerful example of how language can be used to reflect and even shape public policy.
Yeah. It's fascinating how a single issue can be viewed so differently depending on where you are.
Okay. We've also got some common conversational phrases like, it seems, I've heard that, and there you go. These are those little expressions that make spoken English sound more natural and fluid.
There you go. I love that one. It's so versatile, right? You can use it for all sorts of things.
Exactly. It can express agreement, encouragement, even a sense of completion. It's all about the tone and context.
And then there's the distinction between, do you know Burma to have information about something, and have you been to Cambodia, visit. One is about knowledge, the other is about experience.
Right. It's a subtle but important difference in how we ask questions.
And finally, we have, it's not an excuse to treat anyone poorly, and it's shame. Those are, pretty powerful statements about ethical behavior.
Yeah. They highlight the importance of empathy and compassion, regardless of someone's circumstances.
Right. Okay, I think it's time to switch gears and dive into the grammar section. Specifically, we're looking at the suffix maceness.
All right, maceness. This is a suffix that turns adjectives into nouns, indicating a state or quality.
And we've got a whole bunch of examples here. Aware, awareness, careless, carelessness, homeless, homelessness, and so on.
So awareness is the state of being aware. Carelessness is the quality of being careless, and so on.
Right. It's like taking an adjective and turning it into a thing.
Exactly. It allows us to talk about abstract concepts as if they were concrete objects.
Okay, I see. And the notes provide some really helpful examples of how these leftness words are used in context.
Yeah, like the coldness of the wind made her shiver. Here, coldness is the subject of the sentence.
And then there's the effectiveness of the new policy remains to be seen, which uses effectiveness in a more formal context.
And we even see lessness words used in literature. Shakespeare often contrasts foolishness with wisdom. It's a versatile suffix that adds depth to our language.
Absolutely. And speaking of versatility, the notes also compare lessness to other noun-forming suffixes like levity and lessness blance.
Right. So you have sincere sincerity and curious curiosity. Both curious and ditty create nouns from adjectives, but there are some subtle preferences in usage.
Like, you wouldn't usually say curiousness, would you?
Not really. Curiosity is the more common and accepted form.
Okay, that's good to know. And then we have silent e silence and important importance, which use ease.
Exactly. These suffixes also create nouns, but there are patterns to learn about which suffix is typically used with which words.
Got it. So knowing those patterns can really help you sound more natural and fluent in English.
Definitely. And finally, the notes point out some important spelling changes when adding ifness. Like, happy becomes happiness, where the Y changes to an I.
Right. And then there's busy becoming business, where the Y changes to an I and you add an S.
Exactly. And lazy becomes laziness with the same Y to I change. These little spelling rules are essential for accurate writing.
Absolutely. And it's good to remember that some adjectives ending in aqueous take cuchity instead of idness. Like, you wouldn't say curiousness, you'd say curiosity.
Right. The same goes for generous in generosity. These are just some of those little quirks of the English language.
Okay, ready to move on to the reading section.
Let's do it. Looks like we're looking at an improved version, teacher's corrections, of an essay written by Maria Eugenia.
Right. And the theme here seems to be the importance of cultural awareness, especially when it comes to etiquette during travels.
It's really about how easily misunderstandings can happen when we're not aware of different cultural norms and expectations.
So, Eugenia, what are your thoughts on that? How important do you think cultural awareness is in communication?
Yeah. Have any of Maria Eugenia's experiences resonated with you? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you felt unsure about the appropriate way to behave?
I think it's something we can all relate to, especially in today's increasingly interconnected world.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that what might seem like a small gesture in one culture can have a huge impact in another.
Right. And Maria Eugenia's essay does a great job of highlighting those subtle differences and the importance of being observant and respectful.
To really get a feel for the language and the flow of the essay, why don't we read it aloud? It's a great way to practice your speaking skills too, Eugenia.
Okay. Here goes. At a conference Maria Eugenia had attended in Lisbon, she found herself reflecting on the many ways etiquette varied across cultures. One small bit of behavior, whether to bow, hug, or shake hands, could either make someone feel welcomed or unintentionally hit a nerve.
It's amazing how those seemingly small gestures can carry so much weight, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, continuing on. Eugenia remembered a guest from Japan who had raised his eyebrows at the casual way she had offered a business card, unaware of the significance attached to that deed in his culture. From that moment on, she had promised herself to learn more about the global usage of gestures and greetings, curious about how a simple act could carry such weight across the spectrum of global interaction.
That's such a great example of how a simple act can be interpreted so differently across cultures.
Okay, next paragraph. As she wandered through the streets of Marrakech on another trip, she couldn't help but wonder how much of her own upbringing had shaped her reactions abroad. The heat of the afternoon sun didn't bother her nearly as much as the internal discomfort she felt when someone violated a rule she had believed was universal, only to realize it wasn't.
It's interesting how those experiences can really challenge our assumptions about what's considered normal or polite.
Yeah. It can be really eye-opening. All right, here's the next part. In one exchange with a local vendor, she had misread a silence for rudeness, but later understood it was a sign of respect, not disdain. These moments, though small in scale, were a feat of emotional growth and cultural insight, more meaningful than any souvenir she could carry home.
Those are the kind of travel experiences that really stay with you, aren't they?
Absolutely. The ones that teach you something about yourself and the world.
Okay.
Last paragraph. Looking back, she knew that every culture's etiquette had risen from centuries of tradition, tied deeply to their history, environment, and social structure. She remembered the way she had beat herself up after unintentionally offending someone in Seoul by sitting before the eldest had. But over time, she learned that missteps, when met with humility, could be moments of connection, not insult.
It's so true. Those missteps, if we approach them with a willingness to learn, can actually bring us closer to others.
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful way to look at it. Okay, yeah. Finishing up. Each experience, each awkward pause or misunderstood gesture was a chance to rise above assumptions and recognize that respect doesn't always wear the same suit. Some cultures value speed, others patience. Some reward silence, others speech. And in that diversity, she no longer felt the need to fit in, only to listen, to learn, and to adapt.
Beautifully said. And I think that's a message that resonates far beyond just cultural etiquette. It's about embracing diversity in all its forms.
So, Eugenia, as you continue your English learning journey, remember to practice speaking aloud as much as possible. It's a great way to improve your pronunciation, fluency, and overall confidence.
Exactly. Read those vocabulary lists, those usage examples, and even passages like Marie Eugenia's essay out loud. It really makes a difference.
And the bibliographic references section in your notes is a treasure trove of resources.
Yes. Use those links to explore topics like shoplifting in California or learn more about syringe services programs, all issues connected to the vocabulary and concepts you're studying.
They're great examples of how you can take your learning beyond the classroom and apply it to real-world issues.
And don't forget, Eugenia, your next class will focus on Italian heritage and European ancestry. So you can start thinking about the language and culture you'll be exploring next.
It's going to be fascinating to see how your English learning continues to connect you with the wider world.
As you move forward, remember that everything you learn, the vocabulary, the usage, the grammar, it all works together. It's an interconnected system that helps you communicate more effectively and understand the world around you more deeply.
And it's not just about memorizing rules. It's about developing a real sense of how language works, how it shapes our thoughts, and how it connects us to other people and cultures.
Exactly. It's an ongoing journey of discovery. And with every step you take, you're opening yourself up to new possibilities for connection and understanding.
And that brings us back to the heart of Academia BSB's mission. It's not just about the language. It's all about communication. Reaching across cultures, understanding perspectives, and connecting with the vast universe of human experience.
That's a beautiful way to sum it up. Keep exploring, keep learning, and keep connecting, Eugenia.
We'll be right here with you on the journey.